Here comes the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast for confused Americans. He knows that boys rule and girls drool. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Well, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast again. It just keeps happening over and over and over. As Drew McMillan, our announcer, just told you, I am Doug Jones, Medicare expert and fervent nap taker. And boy, is today a day for me to take a nap. This is the second day of maybe the most depressing weather Illinois has to offer, and I'm just tired of it. I have pretty much decided to stop thinking. My brain has shut down. It's gray. It's cloudy. It's cold. It's been raining. And the only good thing about that is we have some ponds that are spring fed. And in that drought that happens every summer in August and early September, our pond levels have dropped. And the water gets all full of green duckweed, which is washed in from lawn services, and so it's like nitrogen that nature never intended to be in a pond. So this is the worst time of the year when our ponds get really ugly looking. So the rain has filled them up again and washed away a lot of the duckweed, and the cold weather doesn't encourage duckweed to grow. So that's the only good thing. Otherwise, I won't say I'm suicidal, but I'm not productive. I've had all this correspondence, plus I did all of this research in an effort to prepare for a fascinating podcast supplement or podcast episode today. And of course, I'm almost comatose. I refused even to use my cone of silence today. Randy says that when I surround myself with foam rubber, it makes the sound quality that much better. So he's been furiously twiddling knobs and sliding sliders in an effort to compensate for my lack of cooperation. And I'm hoping that 2 days from now, when we do another recording, it'll be a better mood, and it will be a more productive day, and I will have the cone of silence in a more usable design. Anyway, Randy may have an opinion to share with you. I hope he's still speaking to me after my causing him trouble with my lack of cooperation with the cone of silence. Randy, what do you think about that? Is this going to be problematic for you?
No, I can compensate for it. No problem. I did have one thing to point out. Well, it's actually a question, Doug.
Oh, boy. I love questions. You know that.
So you said you've been in like an Illinois down and dirty rain for the last couple of days. What's the inches that you've been getting?
I don't know because I don't have a rain gauge. And frankly, I don't watch the news lately either. So I can't tell you, but I think a lot of the rain has come at night when I've been sawing logs. So I would have to guess maybe a couple of inches over the last 2 days.
Well, you know what that would do out here, but
oh yeah, it would kill people.
I wouldn't be here with you today, Doug. I'd say sorry, I'm out building an ark.
Oh, I know. And in fact, when we lived in Tucson back in the 70s during college, I heard horror stories of little kids getting killed because it would rain. And then the water, wherever it rained, you know, across town or whatever, flash floods would come down the washes and hurt people and kill them. And then, of course, people in their cars would drive into the flooded washes thinking they were an inch or two deep and, you know, come to a complete sudden stop because they're 2 feet deep. And then they have to be rescued by helicopters and fire departments and so forth and so on. Taxpayers used to have to pick up that cost, which, as you know now, is compensated by the stupid motorist law, which says if you're stupid, you're going to pay the cost of your rescue. So that has been an improvement. But I don't know, that was a pretty long answer to maybe 2 inches.
Well, I was thinking, you know, obviously I drive a four-wheel drive, and it's a Jeep Wrangler, and I think I can go just about through anything, but as a good friend of mine once said, when you're going across a flooded wash, it's not so much the water that's going to stop you. It's the big boulder you didn't see.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There are things that lurking under that water that are going to cause problems more often than not. But the uninitiated, you know, you and I, four-wheel drive experts, we're going to be more careful. But the uninitiated can get themselves in trouble. Back in 1978, I decided I wanted a Jeep. And I called up the local Jeep dealer and I said, what's it going to cost me to get a Jeep CJ? And he said, well, do you want a CJ CJ 5 or CJ 7? I said, what's the difference? He said, well, the CJ 7's about 10 inches longer and it's got a tailgate. And I said, all right, let's talk CJ 7. And I said, what's that going to cost me? He said, $5,200. And I said, are you kidding me? He said, yeah. And I said, hey, you know, get one ready for me. I'll be right down with my checkbook. And he said, okay, just let me ask you a couple of questions. He said, what's your name? What's your address? And then he said, by the way, do you want a seat in that Jeep? And I said, you mean like a driver's seat? And he said, yeah. Okay, sure. Okay, well, let's see. You know, I hear the adding machine going. And then he said, would you like a passenger seat? Sure. All right, you know, tick, 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 chink, tick, 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 chink. How about a back seat? Okay, tick, 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 chink. Would you like a top? Well, here it is, Illinois in the wintertime. You know, yeah, I'd like a top. Would you like a heater? And by the time we got done, that thing was a lot more expensive than I expected it to be. So I started watching the Trading Times and whatever the local newspapers were, and I finally found a two-year-old Jeep, and I went and bought that. And it was beautiful looking, black, big wheels and tires on it, and a V8, of course. I'm not going to drive around any sissy six-cylinder. And so I drove this thing home, and I learned what most Jeep owners back in those days also learned, is that salty winter snow and Jeeps do not mix. It was 2 years old when I got it. By the time it had gone through its third winter, the driver's side floor was completely gone, and I was actually, I had stuffed a road sign in there and kind of put it into shape just so I wouldn't fall out.
I'm remembering Jeeps of past in my life. You know, they definitely, the floor pan, I don't know why, but those things rot out in absolutely no time.
Well, part of it's Jeep's fault for having probably the world's crappiest steel that they used. A friend of mine was an ace body man. He's retired now, but he started his career in high school doing rust repair on Jeeps, get this, on Jeeps that were trucked to the dealership and came off the truck from the factory.
So they're new. Oh, my, you're seriously?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, frankly, they were disguising their problem for years and years. So my Jeep ate itself up, and I'm kind of pining for another one. I'd like to have another. I guess the model I like was the CJ up to 1986.
Yeah, so you had a CJ7.
Well, actually, I wound up, the used one I bought was a CJ5. Turns okay. out I didn't miss that tailgate and that extra 10 inches too much. Although I should have, this is where the story was going. You buy a Jeep, your first one, you're not a four-wheel drive expert yet. So you do silly things. And so two-wheel drive, because you had to get out and lock the hubs if you want to put it in four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And so here I am, the first time I encountered some icy patches on the road, and I'm sailing down this two-lane highway, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at the area that I just came from. And then I'm looking straight ahead again, and I realize I was spinning because the wheelbase on a four-wheel, on a CJ5 is a perfect square.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the CJ7, 10 inches longer, it probably would have kept me going in the same direction.
I doubt it, maybe.
So that was the first lesson I learned in the fact that Jeeps are not all conquering. You know, you're going to have some problems even with the four-wheel drive.
The thing that used to irritate me about some of the early Jeeps was you know, but obviously you had to get out, and, you know, if it was knee deep in mud, you had to get out and lock your hubs, and there's, you know, all kinds of crap that you got to do. But the thing, and that I could live with that, but there was one thing that just really irritated me. I don't know if you ever had this problem, but sometimes you couldn't get the transfer case out of four-wheel drive.
Ooh, I never had that problem.
And the only way you could do it was to put it in reverse to take the pressure off the transfer case.
Yeah.
And then go around in circles backwards one way, go around in circles backwards the other way, and then try to shift the transfer case. I have spent most of my life in, you know, after hours garages, you know, like gas stations in the back lot, going around and around and around backwards.
I have never had that problem, and I wouldn't have known to do that to solve it.
It was a nightmare, and I was so glad when they finally got to the point where we didn't have to lock the hub.
Yeah, well, gee whiz, you know, that does make it more convenient, but I never had that transfer case problem. The other problem I had, besides the occasional spinning out of control on an icy patch without having locked the hubs, because you don't want to be driving around with your hubs locked. You know, people might say, well, why not just leave them locked all winter? Well, that's going to put tremendous wear and tear on your
That's called ruining your tires and potentially breaking your transfer case.
Absolutely. And all of that is a lot more expensive than an occasional accident or
an occasional spin out.
Yeah. But the other thing is, I on my driveway, which is real long, we had an ice storm. So the driveway, the paved portion of the driveway was ice, just solid ice, probably an inch thick. And the grass on the side of the driveway actually provided a little bit more traction. And so for some reason I was out and I had to pull off the driveway to let somebody go by me. And then I couldn't get back on because the two wheels, both my rear end and my front end, my differentials were open differentials. There was no positive traction on my Jeep. And so, of course, I'm sitting there with the left front wheel and the left rear wheel spinning like crazy.
And going nowhere.
had it been, you know, had there been positive traction, I would have climbed right back on the driveway and continued on my way. But no, that didn't happen.
Sometime I'll tell you about my experience with one of my GTOs and a positive track kicking in at a very inopportune time.
Oh, boy. I want to hear that story, but I want to hear it after we do some Medicare business.
Yes, we should. I think, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Doug, and I think it's a great idea. Let's catch up on some mailbaggers. Have you got some mailbaggers ready?
Well, I do. I was going to get real responsible and read some articles I found and read do some exciting reading from Medicare.gov, and I said, screw it. So let me go through the mail that I've collected here. That's always a lot more fun, and I do enjoy it when people tell us that they've enjoyed the podcast and they've enjoyed the book. Now, I've got them in no particular order, but the last one that arrived was a gentleman who I think is from Texas because his email address indicates that he's proud of being a Texan, I believe. So anyway, he says, love your book. Dear Doug, love your book and thanks for taking the time to keep the site going for further resources. He says, I'm in the midst of making a decision which plan to go with. And while I get that you don't care a whole heck of a lot for Advantage plans, I'm wondering where else I can find vision and dental necessary now and hearing necessary in the years to come. Please advise. Thanks for your time. His first name is Conan. And he's not the only Conan I know, by the way. Anyway, I said, thanks for writing, sir. If you were to buy a Medicare Advantage plan just to be able to get dental and vision coverage, you might well find yourself disappointed to find that the coverage is very skimpy and limited to a short list of dentists and optometrists. Individual dental, vision, and hearing plans are all over the place. You can buy them from almost any insurance agent. But most people are put off by the cost, which is a lot higher than it would be with a group plan from your employer. Most of them also have networks that may force you to change dentists. And I've said this before, I got used to my dentist, and I don't want to be changing dentists just because of insurance. And my dentist never accepted dental insurance. He just did not have a network of dentists that he belonged to. So if I had bought a dental plan, I would have had to file my own claims, do my own paperwork and everything else. This guy was that good that he did not have to give discounts away to dental insurance companies in order to put butts in chairs, as it were. So I told this gentleman, my first choice would be to suggest that you ask your HR department whether it is possible to stay on your group plan after you retire. I suspect that you are terminating from an employer anyway. Some company plans allow retirees to participate in the dental, vision, and hearing coverage at a reasonable monthly cost. Also, I have a plan that does not require the use of a network of providers, and I have attached a brochure for you. If you're interested in purchasing this plan, just let me know. So it solves the problem of having a network. This plan will just, you send the bill, the dentist bill in, and they do the calculating and send you a check for a portion of the cost. So that's what I have available for people who ask me for dental insurance coverage, because otherwise I got to figure out what dentist they like, if any, what networks that dentist might belong to, and frankly, has he dropped out of a network in the last 6 months and nobody knows about it? So it's been problematic to find a dental plan. I finally have a good dental plan that is doesn't solve all the problems, but it solves a lot of them, and it's an answer to potential clients who want some dental, vision, and hearing coverage. And then, of course, I bring out the big baseball bat, and I slug him right in the head with it. I said, also, since the book was helpful, I wonder if you might help me and future readers by returning to the site where you got it, probably Amazon, and posting a short customer review. So he wrote back and said, thanks for your quick response. I will check all this out and leave an appropriate comment. It feels like deciphering all this info is like studying contract law at Harvard Law School. Well, I wouldn't know about that. I was kind of a piss poor student. He said, your book is a great help. Thanks. So I said, I'm very happy to help. Don't hesitate to contact me if you ever need anything else. So I'm sure he is sharpening his pencil right now. Dear Doug. Anyway, here is another. This person we have reached. I know that he's in our target audience because he has got to be. He has got to be the laziest or among the laziest people that we know that have ever bought the book. And how do I know he is among the laziest of all people that have bought the book? Here is his request. Just read your book and enjoyed it. Of course, I always start out with a compliment. That's to butter me up. He says, does your logic for going with Plan F still hold even if I am in an area, Georgia, where there are numerous Advantage plans available with Part D included for $0 monthly premium? If so, why? And then he says, thanks in advance for any info you can provide. Well, basically, the only good thing he did for me was buy the book. He obviously did not open it. And so I now have to synopsize the whole book in the space of one email, and it's got to be short enough so that he doesn't just hit delete because it's so long and ponderous. So I said, thank you for writing, Mr. So-and-so. I wrote the book to address exactly this question. And if I were a school marm, I might chastise you for not reading it thoroughly enough. Let's review. First of all, I am not necessarily recommending Plan F, but any Medicare supplement rather than an Advantage plan. My favorite supplement plan is usually going to be a low-priced, high-deductible Plan G. Sometimes high-deductible Plan F is priced exactly the same. A high-deductible supplement provides great protection at a very attractive cost with limited downside risk. If one prefers a more comprehensive plan without regard for cost, then I might suggest a Plan G rather than a Plan F. The insurance companies I watch are making Plan G a more attractively priced alternative than Plan F lately. Then you might say that adding the cost of a freestanding Part D plan is a problem. There are usually many Part D plans available to a person, over 30 in my area of Illinois, That makes it possible to select the very best plan available when considering the exact prescription drugs and favorite locations to fill those prescriptions. If you take an Advantage plan with drug coverage, you are stuck with what they force you to take. I take a lot of drugs, but my carefully selected plan costs me $13.20 a month with limited drug copays that keep my annual costs under control. If something changes, I can pick a new drug plan each year while leaving my Medicare supplement undisturbed. You can't do that with a Medicare Advantage plan that includes drug coverage. You're stuck with what they shove down your throat. So what are some of the drawbacks of Advantage plans? Nothing really, until one has medical problems that need expensive treatment. At that point, one may have lost their opportunity to be accepted by the more desirable protection of a Medicare supplement plan, since one would have to show evidence of good health to qualify. If your health deteriorates over time, some of the flaws of Advantage plans will become glaringly obvious. Lack of freedom with respect to the choice of doctors and hospitals, restricted access to specialists, approval required for some medical procedures, changing list of network providers, nagging per-visit cost sharing, annual out-of-pocket limits ranging as high as $6,700 or $10,000 if the plan is a PPO. Advantage plans can change in various fundamental ways during the course of a year, while a Medicare supplement is constant and unchanging as long as the premium is paid on time. Finally, a series of Advantage plans have been caught pulling shenanigans. Remember that, Randy? Ooh, take some time
I
to turn
do,
the mic
I
on.
Do. I was keeping
snoring,
the recording line quiet.
It was. I thought I heard some snoring, but I guess if you had...
Oh, sorry.
Well, let me continue with my chastising of this gentleman. Finally, a series of Advantage plans have been caught pulling shenanigans with their members in an effort to save money by rationing care. These dirty tricks were discovered by their own management investigators and are chilling in the implications for possible mistreatment of their members. I hope this short synopsis is a satisfactory explanation for you, Mr. So-and-so. If you would like something more specific, please be sure to write again. He hasn't. That was probably 5-6 days ago. Don't forget that a short customer review posted on the site where you got the book is always appreciated. Haven't seen that yet either.
So if I've got a suggestion for you, Doug. If you ever get one like that again, Apparently, I have not done my job in completely squashing the idea that a zero premium insurance plan is worth any more than zero.
You and I together haven't done our jobs. I mean, it's more than a one-man job, apparently, and we failed.
What is going on here?
We failed with that one gentleman, but frankly, he had the book in his hands, he says. And if he's not lying to me, then he didn't absorb the he could have put it under his pillow and learned more than apparently he got by opening it and maybe reading it. So I'm hoping that my email, as gently put as it was, has opened his eyes to some of the problems that people have with Medicare Advantage plans. And as you know, not everybody has a problem. Otherwise, one-third of all the people on Medicare would not have purchased Medicare Advantage plans. But enough people have problems. I have heard insurance agents say that they sell Medicare Advantage plans and they sell Medicare supplement plans because they think there is a need for each type of plan. I think that's BS. But they also say that 90% of the problems, the complaints, and the service work that they have to do with their clients to keep the clients happy is caused by the Medicare Advantage plans. Medicare supplement plans, even if you get them from the crappiest company there is, it's like Bob's Storm Door and Medicare Supplement Company, and it costs $2 a year. You can get the worst Medicare supplement from the worst Medicare supplement company, and you're still going to be happier on the average than if you get a Medicare Advantage plan. So that's just that's what the experts say, and I take that to the bank.
You're killing me, Doug. I think from this point forward, If you get one like that, just send it on to me, and I'll take care of it.
I want to keep my hands clean. You get the blood on your hands. Listen, idiot. But I didn't want to call him an idiot because he may come back with more questions and we may have a lifelong fan here. I don't know.
Well, I hope so because, you know, everybody has to learn and not everybody is an expert like you. But you would think after the book, 450, we're up in the 90s now in terms of podcasts, and I'm not sure I slammed Medicare Advantage plans on everyone, but I have on a good majority. I guess we need to get the word out heavier and harder.
Well, that is up to the marketing department. We do have a high-priced marketing department at our beck and call, don't we? And so
we should
talk to that, have a meeting with the marketing department, and in fact, maybe tomorrow even, and discuss how we might get the word out.
But I would like to point out it's dangerous business. I've seen Medicare Advantage salesmen circling my cul-de-sac, you know, in dark suits. They're wondering where I live. And it's kind of the Men in Black, only it's just the Medicare Advantage people, and they actually had painted nails.
I wouldn't worry too much about it because they're pretty inept. So they know you're there. They kind of know the area you live in, but the odds of them knocking on your door and causing any problems for you are slim to none.
That's kind of what I
have. Have you ever seen The Walking Dead? You know, those people will kill you if there are hundreds of them, but you catch them one-on-one, you just smack them upside the head with something sharp, and they're no problem at all.
I don't know. I was trying to remember back. Wasn't there a Medicare Advantage, advertisement that had a bunch of zombies walking through the neighborhoods looking for customers?
I don't know. That would be an accurate depiction, but I have TiVo. I haven't watched a commercial of any kind in years. Actually, 20 years. I think I got my first TiVo in 2000, the year 2000. And boy, what a time saver. I can watch so much more TV when I don't watch commercials. And then, of course, when I'm at a party with a bunch of friends, hey, did you see that funny commercial about so-and-so? I'm always the one that goes, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Nah, I didn't see anything.
So there was a trade-off.
I wouldn't watch it anyway.
Yeah. So did we have a hanging Chad to address, or have we finished our Jeep talk? Or
We're over time. The gas gauge is bouncing on empty. But we did have a hanging Chad. We were going to address some more information about the wagon wheel ruts that actually still exist and cross through Spurcross Ranch, where you can go see them.
I wanted to hear about that because Spurcross Ranch is 4 miles north of my house on basically a desert road, although it's been paved. And there are a lot of really high-priced houses along that road, big acreage. And so it's a nice area, but it's very rural out in the desert. But it reminded me of my trip to Oregon with a tour guide in the old Corvettes. It's like 10 old Corvettes and 20 old people in those old Corvettes. And we stood in the ruts of the Oregon Trail, ruts that were made from the 1830s to the 1850s or thereabouts. And so I was fascinated when you told me that there were stagecoach ruts that close to my house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, pavement / gravel / blacktop ends on the way to Spurcross Ranch, depending on the time of the year, if we've been getting a lot of rain and the dirt road is all rutted, you best have a four-wheel drive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did not use crushed limestone like a beautifully manicured estate on that road. They used rocks, river rock.
No, it's you see rocks in there large enough to, if your car's low, to take out your radiator.
Yeah. Have you ever been on the Apache Trail?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Well, we did it, and just spur of the moment, in 1971 on a day very much like this, only in Arizona. It was kind of chilly, kind of cloudy, kind of depressing, and we were out there roaming around in our 65 Corvette. We hadn't had it very long. It was 6 years old, I guess. So I said, hey, there's this thing called the Apache Trail. Sounds like a carnival ride. Let's go. Whoa. That was a mistake. I went back many years later with a Chevy Blazer. And even that was taxing. So driving that in a 65 Corvette was a lot of work to keep from wrecking that Corvette. In fact, a guy was so nice. He had some kind of a Winnebago, and we got to a point where it was a lane and a half wide, and he kind of made hand signals like, I'm going to back up, get out of your way so you can go by. And he backed right into a cliff, crunched in the corner of his Winnebago, and I zoomed past him before he decided to have me up on charges, I guess. And it was just a rough, rough day.
I think I'm speaking correctly, but there's a road that you and I need to take. It's up around Prescott, and I think it goes between Prescott and someplace else. It's like Schnabley Hill Road or something.
Yeah, I've seen the sign for it, but I think all of that burned up in that fire last year. I think there's a whole lot of fire damage there from one of the big fires.
Well, so it will take the breath right out of you going over it, I'll tell you.
Oh, boy.
They tell you going up there, if you're going here, don't figure on anybody coming to help you.
No kidding. Well, I'll tell you something. That's kind of like driving around Maui. When you take the road to Hana, I didn't realize this, but I had a passenger who was willing to pull the paperwork in our rental Jeep out of the glove box and read the part to me that says, do not pass Hana or your insurance will be null and void. And it was a rough day, a lot of wrestling that wheel and changing gears and fighting the bumps and everything else. And every once in a while, there'd be a 50-foot patch of paved, smooth road that was over a wash or something, whatever they call them on Maui. And then you're back on the rocks and the rough terrain. It was nice to be able to say we did it, but the actual doing of it was not very fun.
Oh, I love those kind of things, especially if I'm in my element, which is in my Jeep. But I think for today, Doug, we should tell our folks thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you to Drew McMillan for announcing for us. We always appreciate his contribution. And go out and buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's going to become increasingly rare because soon it's going to be the 2021 version and the 2020 will disappear.
But you can still get it now. So
yes,
go right to Amazon, get out your mouse, get out your credit card, and buy several because we are coming into the holidays. Before you know it, it's going to be Christmas and your family is going to be wondering what you got him. Well, then you can tell them you got him a book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020.
Yeah, see how that goes over with the youngsters in your family. See how that goes over with the youngsters.
Little Jimmy?
Yeah, here. Little Jimmy's, oh boy, a book.
you'll really enjoy this someday.
Would you read it to me? What's it say?
So anyway, folks, thanks for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking to you next time. But until then, you have spent about 32 and a half minutes around the metaphorical coffee table with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.